With the ringing of the school bell, you know it is time once again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this is going to be class session 157. I invite you now to go get your Bibles and be turning to the book of Luke chapter 10. And we're going to be taking our study today from Luke 10 verses 1 through 11 and verse 17. Looking at a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday of December 3rd, 1922. And this is the time when Jesus sent out 70 missionaries. And we're going to read how he sent them out and learn what we can from this account. Now, while you're getting your Bible, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. The Church of Christ at Rock Cliff is one of about 40 to 45 Churches of Christ in Warren County, and you should visit the Churches of Christ and see how they worship, and you'll see that it is the worship that goes all the way back to the pattern of worship that we find in the New Testament. The meeting house where we worship at Rock Cliff is at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, between McMinnville and Biola, just across from Mount Zion Road. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, if you have your Bibles ready for Luke chapter 10, we're going to be beginning verses 1 through 11. And we've already read this, but let me read just a little to remind you where we are. Luke 10 and verse 1 says, "Now after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two and two before his face into every city whither he himself was about to come. And he said unto them, The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." The golden text for this lesson is Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. There's a devotional reading that ties right into this, because later, instead of sending the 70 into the areas in the land of Israel, he would send the apostles into all the world. And we read about that in the book of Matthew, chapter 28. And let me read the closing words of the book of Matthew, beginning in Matthew 28 and beginning at verse 16 and going down to verse 20. "But the 11 disciples went into Galilee, unto the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Let me read this introduction. You know, it is difficult sometimes to piece together all of the particular chronology that we read when Christ was here on earth from those accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And sometimes we can be fairly certain we've got this right, but sometimes there's a lot of uncertainty, and so it is here. Between the Feast of the Tabernacles and the Feast of Dedication, some suppose that Jesus returned to Galilee and thence back to Jerusalem through Galilee and Samaria eastward to the Jordan and through Perea beyond the Jordan. And while in Perea, he sent forth the 70. It is supposed that Luke chapter 9 and verse 51 records his final departure from Galilee. That is where it says that Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. But others suppose that Jesus remained at Jerusalem or in Judea during this interval and sent forth the 70 after the Feast of Dedication. You know, if we needed to know more about this and have more certain knowledge of this particular chronology, then surely we would have been told. And the thing for us to do is to maybe examine and wonder about some of these things and come up with reasonable chronologies for this. But the things we really need to know are the things that are revealed to us. And that's where we're going to focus our attention. Luke chapter 10 verse 1 says, "Now after these things the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself was about to come." These things are the things mentioned, of course, in the previous chapter. And the Lord here appointed 70 as he had previously appointed 12 and sent them forth, as we read about in Mark chapter 10 and Luke chapter 9. He sent them two and two, just as he had formerly sent the apostles in Mark chapter 6 and verse 7. One can supplement the work of the other, reach some that the other could not reach, encourage, help, counsel, and sympathize with the other. And as Jesus says, it was written in the law that if the witness of two men is true, doubtless these are some of the reasons why he sent them two and two. He sent them before his face into every city and place whither he himself was about to come, that is, in advance of his coming, to prepare the people for him. The time was short, and his ministry increased in activity as it drew to its close. The 70 would preach the gospel of the kingdom to the people, awakening an interest, beget hope, show mercy, and prepare them for the coming of Jesus, as he had selected the apostles to be with him for a while in training before sending them out. So now, having trained others, he sends them forth. That 70 are ready to go shows how his work grew. It is God's law to him that has the more given, to him that will be given more, and to the one faithful in little will be open opportunities for greater usefulness. So he exhorted the disciples when he sent them forth, saying, "The harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." God is the Lord of the harvest. The world is his field, and many people willing to receive the truth are ripening grain, ready to perish if not gathered in. In many the good seed was ripening. When Jesus went beyond the Jordan, it is said that many came to him, and they said, "John the Baptist indeed did no sign, but all things whatsoever God spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there, John 10, 40 and 42. The 70 were to go as reapers, but they were few compared to the great need. So as they went and worked, they were to pray the Lord to send others. This shows that prayer is effective. It was understood that God would hear and answer. But while they prayed for other laborers, they must go themselves. Just so it is with us. While we pray for the salvation of men, we must work as laborers in the harvest. It is an abomination in the sight of God to pray for the spread of the gospel and for those laboring in word and doctrine, while we do nothing to spread the gospel or support those who do. There is always a great need of God to send the laborers today. Now, there's a vast difference between those whom men send and those whom God sends. God sent laborers. Like Paul realized, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." They preach at any cost. They make tents and preach. They preach for Christ's sake. Such do to always preach the gospel, the whole counsel of God, nothing more or less. Those who do not preach the gospel, our word, who would prevent the gospel, are not God sent. We read in the book of Galatians, Paul addresses this in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Paul wrote, "I marvel that you're so quickly removing from him that called you into the grace of Christ to into a different gospel, which is not another gospel, Only there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we preached unto you, let him be anathema. As we said before, so say now, again, if any man preach any gospel unto you, then other than that which ye have received, let him be anathema. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be the servant of Christ. God never sends a man to preach anything else but his will, his plan, and simple commandments. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. The hireling hunts the best pasture not for the sheep, but the best pasture for himself. Those who think godliness is a way of gain, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5, are not God sent. That the poor have good tidings preached to them, Luke 7:22, is proof supreme that Jesus is Christ. And those who were sent to go were to go as they were directed by Jesus. Luke chapter 10 and verse 3, we read, "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. Go your ways." That is, as Jesus directed, and the places where he sent them. They were lambs among wolves, defenseless and helpless as lambs. Their enemies were ravenous and greedy like wolves. And so it is today. Christ is the same today. His Spirit and his disciples are the same. And the world is the same ravenous, greedy enemy of the church. They were to harm nor hurt no one, and were not to defend themselves by force with carnal weapons against the attack of the enemy. They were not equipped with carnal weapons. Christ was like a sheep led to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers. Jesus said to them in Luke chapter 10 and verse 4, "Carry no purse, no wallet, no shoes, and salute no man on the way." Jesus gave in substance the same instruction to the 12, except purse is here put for money. Wallet was a traveling bag used to carry provisions, more properly a shepherd's bag used by the shepherd for carrying food when tending his sheep away from home. No shoes? The 12 were to go shod with sandals. Sandals were the soles, leather, felt, or wood scraps across the foot with thongs. In different countries, different materials were used. As in Egypt, sometimes they used palm leaves and papyrus stalks. The word translated shoe literally means what is bound under, a sandal. And that is the word used by John the Baptist in the expression, "The latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose." To be shod with sandals means to bind the sandals to the feet, or to have the sandals for shoes. As the apostles were not able to take two coats and a staff only, so they were not to take two pair of shoes, but to go as they were, shod in their sandals. It was customary to carry an extra pair on a journey, but the 70 were to go without further preparation for their journey, and to depend on the provision God would make for them. For the laborer is worthy of his hire, Luke chapter 10 and verse 7, and those whom they served would supply their needs. They were to dress in a simple way according to the customs of the common people. They were to go without expense, show, and self-seeking, and not with the air of superiority like the rabbis or many of the modern clergy. And they were to salute no man in the way, not because Jesus would not have them impolite or discourteous, but the salutations of that day, and as in the East now, were formal, insincere, and consumed much time, and their work required haste. Singleness of purpose is the point emphasized here by Jesus, while they were to be sincerely polite and courteous to all, as the next verse shows. We'll take up our study there in Luke chapter 10, verse 5, in the next class.